Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
What's good, internet? It is June 9th, 2018. Welcome to day negative two.
According to Rob, it's day negative
two. It's day one
of E3 2018. I'm your host, Austin Walker. Joining me today in this beautiful Airbnb
where we can't use the internet.
There's not very good internet. And there's a bottle of flea dog shampoo holding up the phone.
You can't just say no. You cannot be like, oh, and also in the Airbnb, there happens to be a bottle of flea shampoo. I bought flea shampoo
for you
today.
Thank you.
Because you suspected you had fleas.
Look, I got on this airplane, and I got off this airplane. I got on this airplane, my legs looked normal, like normal human legs. I got off, and they were eaten up by some sort of insect. So I was very afraid that there was a flea issue.
Well, no, it started with bed bugs. Somehow I walked into the room, people were like, we got bed bugs.
That's
like,
not,
what are you, what?
If we have bed bugs, I quit.
I am
We're
lucky.
Done. We're done. Waypoint is
my
over.
Flight. I am going home.
I'm going home. I'm burning all the clothes I brought. I'm just leaving my bag here.
It's not worth destroying your mask.
I'll buy a new Switch. Fuck it, man.
New Switch, new clothes.
New clothes, new everything. Anyway, the person who may or may not have fleas, I think it's spider bites.
Apparently, I've been food for a spider.
Danielle Riendo here with me.
Hi.
Also here with me, Patrick Klepek.
Hey.
We did that bit. That's an off. And Rob Zachney.
This is why it feels like day negative two, to be honest.
It feels like day negative 100, honestly. Yeah. Or day 1000. Also, obviously, producing Natalie Watson.
Yay.
Off camera, doing production work on the actual camera, Danica Herod, and of course, a technical supervisor, publisher, Joel Fowler.
Yay.
He's on a couch. It's a good look. It's good. It's orange or like apricot or like tangerine. What is that?
He's over there being upset about Apple products.
Yeah, it's fair. Apple products have dongles now, so it can get in the way
Dongles get in the way.
It's true.
Who knew?
Today is the first day we all got in today. We all flew in the middle of the EA press conference and tried to watch it on our planes if we could.
On a spider-infested plane.
Apparently a spider-infested plane. I watched it like 180p.
I think 144 would probably have been your option.
That's right. That's true. 144. I tried 360. No.
Yeah.
Did not work on the Alaska Airlines.
I was on United, and like their internet was like legit. Like I was watching it at like 1080p.
What?
Like streaming the EA press conference.
We get to Alaska Airlines
it was
this
weird.
Morning at JFK. And first of all, that terminal is wild because it's just dead. It's just dead. There's just no one there. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if this airline has Wi-Fi. So I look it up, and they go to their page, and their page is like, brand new Wi-Fi, motherfucker. Hot as shit. 20 times faster than the old Wi-Fi. Like, it's new satellite Wi-Fi. You don't even know. I'm scrolling, like, oh, yeah, this is that good shit. And it's like, and as of June 2018, it has rolled out to 3 of 241 planes. Like, fuck you. Don't even make this page until it's on half these planes.
Or at least 10.
At least 10. At least 10.
Double digits.
15.
Or like 10%. 15. 20. 24.
20 would be 10%.
10%.
Yeah. 24. Yeah.
In any case, between then and now, we've all watched the EA press conference. We all had good Mexican food. Or
oh, yeah.
This table had good Mexican
delicious.
Food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not sponsored by Taco Bell. We're not Dan Reichert. We don't have that Dan Reichert Taco Bell sponsorship.
Steal an IP, steal a taco.
Oh, boy.
Big picture. What is your takeaway from the EA press conference? We'll go through it bit by bit and dig in, but like impressions.
Boring, corporate.
Pretty corporate.
Like have a sense of humor. And yeah. None of this is on like Andrea Renee like hosting.
Totally.
It's just EA's like,
I mean, if anything, Andrea Renee was like doing her best to pull it from the jaws.
And then just hearing
hell.
Like chirp, 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 chirp. They didn't like the actual like setup of the event was poor. Like the claps were, at first I thought the lack of claps was maybe like they didn't mic the audience, which is, this will happen at, right, like when they, yeah, improperly like stream an event. It's like there's real clapping happening. You just don't hear it up on, you know, when you're watching the live stream. And then Joel, who actually went, was like, nah, like there weren't that many claps. It was like, Madden's coming to PC. Yeah.
In fact, I heard people,
which actually got the biggest response of the entire.
Oh, I didn't. I actually missed that. I missed that.
Yeah, Madden 19 is coming to PC.
Oh, awesome.
Okay.
Ultimate Team on PC is just going to be fucked because people are going to hack that game.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true.
But I'm into it.
Could be fun.
That could be fun. Any other big picture impressions of that event? It's so weird.
That just went up several ticks.
Because of the PC.
Between that and CNC Mobile.
We need to do like co-op franchise mode, Patrick. Stream. We're going to take the Bears. We're going
to actually.
Like, we're going to bring back Spirit of 85.
That's the name of the stream series, Spirit of 85.
Yeah,
that's really good. That's really good. Yeah, I think, you know, for me, it's one of those things where I think throughout that event, there were moments that really worked for me when they had developers speaking about their games.
Yeah.
But there weren't that many games that people cared about. Like, I kind of left that being reminded that EA is in a kind of a position of weakness right now in terms of having stuff that people already care about. It's hard to launch new IP like Anthem, a new series that doesn't already have buy-in. And in fact, and we'll talk about this in a bit, where the studio fan base is actually kind of poised to be suspicious and skeptical of that game. But, you know, this isn't like Microsoft, where you know you have Halo and some people care about Halo. Like, EA just didn't have that besides Madden and FIFA. Rob.
No, I'm sorry. There's a bug between me and the mic.
I thought you were like, swatting. I have a comment.
No, I was swatting it away.
I was like, are we doing hand raises? All right,
no. I really thought
it.
That was like a polite. Like,
no, it was good.
Can we?
No, I feel like this. I'm like Casey McCall here.
Moment,
like
the, you know,
you can not see it.
It was really good.
Sports night.
Sports. Hey, sport. I watched a sport, but it's all right. I know it's not. Hey, it's EA related.
Yeah.
Yeah, Holly Holm did a great job tonight.
Right, the UFC had
UFC.
That's true.
UFC had a good.
We can part. Do a sports podcast separately. There's a lot of between the Caps, the Cavs, and
Caps,
Holly.
Yeah, go
Corn.
Actually, sure. Okay, so I do have.
Let's go with that.
Holly Holm.
You know, actually, if you say, I don't know, you might have noticed me flagging you down a minute ago, but I have something
fucking
to say. No. But it does sort of feel like this is a press conference also where, like, you're starting to see the attrition starting to tell on EA. Like, based on how things went last year,
right,
EA is sort of disincentivized getting too emotionally attached to the games they're making. You know what I mean? So now I think everyone is approaching it kind of like cautiously. Like, I think if they'd had a good year, the reception of Anthem might have been a little more excited.
Yeah.
Instead of the slightly like edge of your seat, like, man, I hope this is good. I hope this is like not exploitative and gross.
Yeah. I hope that there aren't loot boxes. I hope that this
feels
good.
Yeah. Big takeaways, like, it's fucking ludicrous that Battlefront 2, a game that was properly roasted for how it used loot boxes, and then EA comes out in two separate occasions and says, like, no loot boxes.
Uh-huh.
No loot boxes. Like, that's not something that you should turn into, like, a gamer rallying cry when you're the one that, like,
did
not
it.
That you were the first one to roll that out, but you became sort of, like, the epicenter of the backlash last fall, and then all of a sudden you... Like, go. You're the one that's going to be like, yeah, like, nah, we're not doing that gross shit. Like, we didn't do that.
It's very Facebook, like, and then something happened. What could have happened?
Oh, those Facebook ads are the worst thing about the NBA Finals. Well, J.R. Smith, but those Facebook ads.
Yeah,
J.R. Smith is going to be in the next year's version of that Facebook ad.
Oh, boy.
Like, we made some mistakes. Danielle, any big picture takeaways of that event from what you saw?
I mean, there were a couple of things I really liked. I liked the quarter of a second of lesbians in Battlefield.
Really want to know if that was lesbians. I'm afraid wrong.
They said, I love you, and what if they're sisters?
Yeah, come on.
Well,
I hope it's lesbians. I hope it's queer women.
Lesbians.
Maybe they're bi.
Queer women.
Right.
You know, pan, whatever. It's all good. That was kind of cool. I mean,
I'm just saying we shouldn't assume that.
We can't. Because... Yeah,
like
because
if you were to assume status quo,
right?
Status quo would be that that's
friends.
Not true.
Well, yeah, like
they
were
something.
Roommates in college. They experimented a little,
right?
It was fun.
I would say that there is an overlap there a little bit, and we'll get to Anthem in a moment.
Yeah.
But like one of the things that came out about Anthem is no romance, and there is a, like, not a backlash, but, you know, there's a big part of that community loves the romance in BioWare games.
And that's the whole reason they play those games.
It's a major huge
component. I'm not saying everybody, but for a percentage of people, yes. That is, like, a massive reason why.
Or in a lot of ways, it's a defining, like, differentiating trait of BioWare 100%. Games.
And it is about characterization. Yeah. It is one way in which those characters really come to life in the game. And sometimes there are even queer characters in BioWare games. Not as often as people think, because the fandom does a lot of filling in the gaps and being like, well, like this character Jack in Mass Effect,
wink wink nod nod,
or like, hey, this character should have been queer, or this character's queer coded.
Jack was
queer, but you couldn't date her as a woman,
exactly,
right?
Yeah.
And so between that and the like, oh, I hope, and I'm included on this, like that these are queer women in the Battlefield game. It's just one of those things where I'm like reminded about being turning scraps into feasts of just like, we need representation wherever we can find it, and like get excited about it, even when it's just like, I love you, boop, gone. And like, oh, I wish we lived in a world where that wasn't what excited us, because we had so much more already, but we don't. So.
Also, given like the history of queer women in media, it's always a little messed up when it's like, I love you. Oh, you're dead now. You're dead. Oh, you're dead. You're dead.
Literally.
Dead.
Well, because will you be shocked if like at the full reveal at the Xbox event tomorrow, that like where they've said they're going to show like a fuller version of that scene, that like she pushes her off the edge and then she gets shot up and dies on the bridge? Like, come on, right? Like, that does seem like a very likely scenario.
Yeah. All right, so let's go through these. Let's start with Battlefield here. No real gameplay, like a little snippet.
They did, yeah. I don't know that we got a chance to look at it when we were kind of scrubbing through things here. But yeah, they did show a little bit of gameplay. The big thing they were pushing was like the destructibility of the environments.
And like, the recreatability of it, right? Like, there's been lots of shots of people with hammers and stuff, and they've said that one of the things they're adding to this game this year, and I'm curious, Rob, you'll see this either tomorrow or the next day, that it's about rebuilding locations, and like something will get destroyed, and then in the middle of combat, you can reinforce it or recreate it or whatever. That's interesting. That's neat, I guess.
Mean, anything that takes Battlefield closer to like a Bad Company 2 model for the multiplayer is a good thing, in my opinion. Like, for me, that's my, like, everyone has their Battlefield where it like sort of hit its pinnacle. For me, it's Bad Company 2, and I've sort of missed that feeling of, by the end of a multiplayer match, there's
this place is just wrecked.
Yeah, and there's a story in that, right? You're like,
this is like Fortnite, right? Yeah. Like, that was one, you know, for how we felt about that game, that was one of the things we took away, was like a real highlight of that game was the story that was told by what was left behind.
Yeah.
Or not left behind.
Totally. Other than that, they announced that they would be doing a Royale mode, a Battle Royale mode.
Yeah, I think like, the Kotaku Royale headline was, it took 6 minutes for a Battle Royale announcement at E3 2018.
Yep, 6 minutes. This was expected. I think I heard rumors. I think a lot of people had heard rumors.
And it makes a lot of sense for a Battlefield
completely.
Game.
Completely. I can envision it so much more clearly than I can envision the Call of Duty Battle Royale mode.
Yeah.
Because Call of Duty is such like a fast-paced, like rapid,
and the environments
thing.
Are smaller.
Right.
The levels are smaller. Exactly. Like Battlefield is a bigger, expansive playground.
But also not at launch, coming later, right? Yep.
That's right.
And they didn't show anything of it. They said later this year, so you know, probably sometime in the summer.
Yeah. We'll see more.
Yeah, but I think that will actually hit really well with that audience. The Call of Duty one is more like,
I'm curious.
But yeah, the Battlefield one just feels like a very natural extension of that franchise.
Totally. Rob, I'm curious for you, as someone who has studied a lot of war and who is like a historian of sorts, for this table.
Yeah, relative to everyone else at Waypoint.
To us. Where are you at with like World War II and video games of this sort of action-packed, like vignette driven, like high adventure, high drama, but like high action drama?
Because you did not like Call of Duty.
Right.
No, but I think, but Call of Duty is presenting itself with this, like, in its self seriousness, it has this, like, patina of authenticity that, like, everything in the storyline completely belies, right? Like,
right.
Like, Call of Duty wants to look and sound like it's presenting itself as, like, this is history as it happened. And what it's presenting is, like, 100% bullshit.
Right.
Basically. By contrast, Battlefield is so heightened that, to me, it's historyish, I guess, is a good way of putting it. Like, I had a really weird relationship to Battlefield 1 because, like, I'm fascinated by the First World War. The weird thing to me is, who's the artist who did the artwork behind Scythe?
Jacob Rosalski.
Jacob Rosalski, right.
Yeah.
And Like, so the artwork behind this game that he makes is set in the World War One era, and it's all like weird mechs and people living like pastoral Eastern European lives. But what it evokes is this idea of the world is turned upside down.
Right.
This period in history feels like there's something profoundly alien and industrial that's like changed the world as we've known it. Battlefield One kind of struck that note for me. Like, things about like crashed Zeppelins on battlefields and people fighting over the ruins of them.
Like wheat fields, but then also like hyper new at the time technology combined in a way that like was striking and represented the fact that there was a moment of great upheaval.
Right, completely bunk from a historical standpoint. but as you're playing it, it is alien and strange in a way that if you go back and like you read accounts from people who lived through that, in a weird way, the strangeness and uncanniness you feel as you experience it does sort of...
The hyperbole of Battlefield 1 gets a little bit closer to what it was like for people
seeing
experiencing it
seeing
for the first time.
Seeing a fucking Zeppelin for the first time. If you're 50 years old and you see a Zeppelin and you've never seen things fly in the air that are man-made, you've seen like little balloons maybe. It's like, oh shit, this is a lot.
There are people up there
and they might have... They see me, they might drop a bomb on me. I don't know.
So... Like, when I look at Battlefield 5, for instance, like, World War II has been presented so many times that a lot of its, like, iconic moments have become almost tame. Like, D-Day was boring in Call of Duty World War II, and one reason for that is because we've seen that a million times. So, if EA is going to continue with the, like, we're going to keep amping it up and heightening it and exaggerating it until it's this, like, expressionistic depiction of the war, then... I'm okay with that. Like, it's honest and it's artifice.
Cool.
And at least it's a direction, right?
Yeah.
Whereas opposed to, like, the Sledgehammer Call of Duty World War II game felt just like they hadn't picked, like, an angle. It was just, oh, we're just making another one of those.
Right.
Whereas at least with DICE, like, the way they handle their hyperbole, at least, like you said, expresses some measure of creativity to how it looks and plays.
Totally. All right, so from Battlefield, we then got... a really awkward respawn announcement.
Oh. Hey, there's gonna be a Star Wars.
There's gonna
well, one
it's
if you
Jedi.
Didn't, if you didn't watch this press conference, go look up the clip where Vincent Pella is interviewed. He's the co-owner of Respawn. He is, I guess, now the owner. The co-owner left Titanfall. He's interviewed. There's no trailer. There's no logo. It's just, you're making a Star Wars game, which we've known for a couple of years now.
Right.
And then he's like, yeah, could you tell us anything about it? And like, I'm doing a bad imitation. You should really just go watch it.
Look,
it's one of the most awkward.
It is basically a Norm MacDonald bit.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's the moth.
It's the moth.
Like
there's
the moth
no,
is a game announcement.
Yeah, there's no punchline though. People should look up the Norm MacDonald moth bit. Also, it's very good. So it's just, he like eventually announces the name of the game is like Jedi Fallen Order, which as a phrase, like, when I see it in my head on a box,
in order.
But I see it, if I could see a logo, it would read as a real like thing for me. Jedi Fallen Order. But the way he just said it was like Jedi Fallen Order. Like, didn't what? I can't. Did you mess up the thing you were trying to say? It doesn't sound like a thing.
Fall in order.
There's one good joke in which he's like, Andre Rene is like trying to get something from him. It's like, so when does it take place? And he's
even
like,
though this is clearly a rehearsed bit,
right?
Like, she's not like doing any journalistic.
No.
She's just doing the announcement.
Right. And he's like, oh, between episodes 3 and 4. And she goes, sounds like a nice time. And he takes like 2 beats. It's a very good pause. And he's like, no, that's not a nice time at all.
It's a dark time.
It's a dark time. So who knows what that game is? Lightsaber.
There's a lightsaber.
It's not Titanfall.
If it's a spiritual successor to Dark Forces, that was going to be the thing. Like, if not TIE Fighter, then a Dark Forces.
Mm-hmm. Or a Jedi Knight.
Or a Jedi Knight. I mean, that's
something
all
like that.
The heritage, right? Battlefront 2, Clone Wars stuff, General Grievous. They're going to keep putting out content for
Which
that game.
Which one General Grievous?
This one with, like, all the arms. He's like a robot.
He's
a
robot.
He's got, like, a wheezy lung.
Yeah.
Remember that guy, wheezy lung?
His design was actually all right.
Yeah. Wait, I'm happy wheezy.
Darth Vader.
No, the other one. He has 4 arms and a wheezy lung.
But you
that's
can see
Darth
the wheezy lung.
You can see he's like,
it's like,
was he in a cartoon?
He was.
He was in Attack of the Clones.
He was also in the Andre No, that's not his name. What is his fucking name? The cartoonist who did Samurai Jack and then did the original Clone Wars. I'm pretty sure he was in that Clone Wars. Okay. I think.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm pretty sure.
Oh my God. I want to say Tarkovsky, but I'm thinking of just the director Tarkovsky, but it could also be Tarkovsky the animator.
Tarkovsky's Jedi Fallen Order.
Fallen Order. So they're going to do Clone War stuff. I'm glad that team still exists and they can still support that
game. I'm hoping that game's rad. Like, that seems like a good fit, like, for studio and, like...
Oh, the Respawn game.
Yeah, the Respawn game. Yeah, like, yeah, I'm
totally... They said next winter...
That was also one of my favorite bars. Like, when's this game coming out? Like, holiday 2019? Like, he was, like, making it. I was like,
gesture. Like, he did not this year,
I have to pick a date? Holiday 2019, which actually makes sense.
That's when the movie...
The episode 9 will be coming out in December. Also, they've said, like, Battlefront is not a game they're going to sequelize, like, immediately. Right. So it makes sense that, like, especially given the way things have played out with Battlefront, that to give that game, like, a three-year, you know, or at least 2 or 3 years breathing
maybe
room,
longer. Like, yeah. We don't know what Star Wars as a franchise looks like in the films. We know there are lots more coming.
Yes.
But, like, we don't know...
Especially post-Solo and its box office disappointment. Like, what does that stuff look like going forward? So...
Was that another fly, or was that actually?
I was like, what if it's like a Hitman game and you're hunting the Jedi?
Oh, that'd be dope.
Disney would never let that fly.
Oh, it'd be so good.
Disney would never let That'd be cool.
Lucas might have let that fly.
Lucas never would have let that fly. No.
Yeah, they would have. That's the Starkiller games, right? That's the...
Also, Republic Commando.
Yeah, Republic Commando. That wasn't really hunting Jedi. I mean, that was like the clones.
And also, the Starkiller games ends with him... crossing over to the good side and starting. Also, that was a good.
So would this game. This game would also do that, probably. Yeah. I'm saying, I know you wouldn't want it to.
Yeah.
But what else? What was now? Oh, I need gut check here because my Twitter timeline is completely divided. Yarny, good or kill him?
No, Yarny's good.
Well, like, I want to be clear. There was no one in the middle of my Twitter timeline. No one is like, yeah, Yarny, he's all right. Everyone is like, yo, fuck Yarny, or... I love Yarny. Yarny makes me like swell up.
I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion about Yarny. Me too. Like, the games look okay. I didn't play the first one.
Danica's pointing at Patrick and laughing.
In the middle.
Yeah. Right. Centrist. Yeah. Centrist Patrick Kleppen.
The woke gamer.
Of course, the woke gamer has arrived.
Maybe he could just die slowly instead.
Okay. Yeah, we could just cut his social security and his benefits.
I feel like the most things I know about Yarny are from that Burn in Hell Yarny piece that sure was a thing.
That first game was just okay. Like, it has floaty physics. It didn't do anything for me. But he's a cute design. And, like, so I guess I'm like... Yarny's all right. His game's not very good. Is like that's how I end up in the middle. There is like
that's co-op and it's out now.
It's out now.
That was their Beyonce moment.
I want to give it a shot.
Yeah, we can't play it because our internet here is terrible. There's no way.
Even if we had
downloading it, we could get it by Friday.
That's true.
When do we have to check out? I don't know.
Yeah. Actually, Joel went to visit the Vice LA office.
True.
Stole one of their PS4s so he can play Warframe in his hotel room
during E3.
During E3, he has. Good internet there, so he could download Yarny.
Could you be more of a narc right now? Like, could you possibly...
Joel is hiding behind a pillow.
He feels seen right now.
Any other Yarny
feelings? In addition to downloading Warframe, of course, we are using that PS4 for Waypoint Business. You know, thank you, Joel.
Thanks,
for making
Joel.
Sure that we were not without PS4.
So that we can play Unravel 2. Two spelled out, by the way,
which I like.
T-W-O.
I think that's a good stylistic decision. Yeah.
That feels in line with their style.
If you want to destroy this franchise,
what?
My God, I hate you. What do you do if you want to destroy this franchise, Rob?
You just hold this thread.
Uh huh. It's a good Weezer joke. How did you not pick up?
Because I'm upset.
Okay. And walk away.
You gotta walk away. Exactly.
Biggest surprise today, I think, by far. Sea of Solitude.
Yes.
Do you want to talk about Sea of Solitude?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. This was sort of like the moment that was the earnest but earned moment, it felt like, of the press event. Well, you know?
I will say, the Yarny people, if you go watch their like intro, he teared up when he introduced the Unraveled the first time.
He was nervous. He had the puppet in his hand.
Now this word is no longer making unravel.
Unravioli? Unravioli. Unravels.
When he did the original pitch for Unravel, it was very earnest. He like teared up on stage, and the same guy came out and did it.
Remember? Yeah, he had the doll.
And he came out and introduced this. And he also had like a very like both of EA's like indie EA pitches, originals, EA originals were like highlights of like you know creative people being being excited to be up on a stage, not feeling rehearsed. And anyway, you pick it up with
Sea of Solitude.
Sea of Solitude, and it's by Joe May Games.
Yep,
Joe May Games
from Berlin,
and it was just this wonderful earnest moment where the creative director. Do I not have her name here?
Her name is Cornelia Geppert, I think. Yes. Right.
She just had this like really wonderful, like earnest, heartfelt pitch about the inspiration for the game, and we saw a little.
She had to catch her breath too. I really enjoyed that part because she was just like,
and like that's, all these people, yeah. And I'm showing my baby for the first time.
That's what it felt like,
and it was so wonderful, and it just felt like such genuine energy. And she talked about the inspiration for writing this game, which had to do with people and like learning to embrace your emotions, including loneliness and dark feelings and your sort of dark self, the Jungian kind of like dark self.
That was one of my favorite things about this. Yes. Was like, so obviously she comes out and she's like, when people are alone, they become when people are lonely, they become monsters. Yes. And it's like, okay, where are we going with this? And the thing that I loved about it was, unlike – there are lots of games who have played in this space, the sort of like emotions. Like, I think lots of comparisons to Papu EO have popped up in after this. I didn't mean to do like a pop thing. That was unintentional. But one of the things I loved about the framing of this was her explaining that like actually – sometimes those emotions aren't bad. Sometimes it's good to be angry. Sometimes it's good to feel sad and lonely. It's just about like figuring out how much of that you can deal like with safely, that you can give to it. Yeah. How much you can confront it safely versus how much it can take you over. And that just felt very emotionally mature to hear, instead of just it being another story about how emotions could cause you to become a bad person, or it's like, oh, you have to be clear and reasonable. It was like, no, like, hey, there are times when it does make sense to feel sad, and giving into that can help you through some things, actually. It can make you a better person. And just hearing that on the stage felt, like I said, emotionally mature compared to what we often hear, even from other kind of indie or EA original style titles. So I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. I am very excited, hopefully, to see it over the next week.
You're in a boat, cool. The world's flooded.
You didn't get a sense of really what the game part
adventure
is.
Puzzler.
Yeah.
Just third person controlling a character around, and it looked very cartoonish and stylized and like very, very sort of
some of the
dark
monsters
hued.
Had kind of like a Attack on Titan
vibe. Oh, it's this girl who's like has like hair and fur and like maybe reverse joint knees. Like she like is like a humanoid character. Who also has very monstrous, quote-unquote, traits. And then also the monsters, all many of them at least, look like other variations on her, as if, like, okay, this is her given over to her sadness. This is her angry, like, stuff like that. But all very, you know, this one's a big shark monster or something, but they still have, like, kind of unique vibes. I really loved the way it looked.
Yeah, and I think part of what's so striking about it is, like, yes, those people are very earnest, and it's, like, cool to see someone, like, so excited to show off what they're making, but it sits in such stark contrast to, like, everything else. And, like, this is not to, like, dunk on, like, people who've clearly been doing, like, rehearsals for, like, probably 3 or 4 days, and, like, you're saying the same thing off a teleprompter, and, like, you're going to lose, like, some of your humanity in that process. Yeah. You're going to lose some of that natural charm, but, like, EA as a company has an image problem, and a lot of that is that they are just like a top-down, like boring corporate company that is out just to like squeeze dollars. Like they handed them over Star Wars, and now they're just going to try and squeeze the fandom for like everything they can get. And like when you see stuff like that, it's both nice because of what it resents, but also relative to EA as a company, how they like present themselves, and especially Andrew Wilson, who just. Do get off the stage. Like you're not helping yourself. Like, you know, there are some executives that can come out and, well, okay, here's my rant about Andrew Wilson, is that, like, so...
Can you explain who Andrew Wilson is for people who don't
know? CEO of Electronic Arts. Okay.
He's a kind of buff guy who looks like a hologram.
Gotcha. So I know the guy personally, right? Like, so nothing about, you know, who he is as a person, but, like, what he represents and, like, how he sort of comported himself out on stage. So Battlefront 2... they had a presentation about Star Wars Battlefront 2, and one of the first things that happens is this guy who looks like a I think we determined it was me if I was a cryptocurrency reporter.
You wrote for Motherboard instead of Waypoint.
I came out on stage to talk about Battlefront 2.
You had your beard back, you bags under your eyes a little bit, like black frame glasses, you know.
Yeah, and this poor guy comes out. I don't know what his role was on the Battlefront team, like he's probably a designer or producer or something like that, but he comes out and like just kind of shuffles his feet, and he's like, so... Battlefront 2, like a long sigh. And then it's like, so the game didn't really come out how we wanted. And I think he says something along the lines of like, we wanted to like hit the ground like running, sprinting. And instead,
yeah,
like, we had to like redo the progression system. We heard you. There's a bit we didn't get to at the end where like there was a bit of like earnestness. His whole bit was earnest. Like yes. his exasperation, really, yes. like and his anxiety in this presentation was earnest in and of itself. In the end, he kind of picked up some steam and was like, you know, we're so committed to this game. We want to make it the game, like the best game it can be. And we feel like we're moving in the right direction. And by a lot of accounts, they do seem to be moving in the right direction for by the players who still like that. But my problem was Andrew Wilson and his executive team are the folks who made the decision to put loot boxes in that game.
Right.
I'm not saying that as a report. I have not reported that out. But like that is an EA management decision. I sincerely doubt that DICE is like designers got in a room where like,
yes, loot boxes.
Loot boxes. This is what we're going to do. Yeah. And so
or if they did, that emerges out of
a corporate initiative that right, is like, this like, is the direction our games are moving.
Or like, this
games
is what the
service.
Money, like, yeah, you can make this game, but only if you return on this.
Right. This
money
is how we
whatever, right?
you do your single player mode is like, right. we afford it by doing this. And like, whatever the case, even if DICE did pitch it, like, what you end up doing is like, Andrew Wilson is the person who comes out and takes the bullet.
Right.
You are the person
that's
that comes
person
out.
Who looks like a hologram.
That's what
sort of buff it's supposed to do.
Yeah. You were supposed to come out and say, like, you look at the camera and say, we screwed up. We've heard you. Our big upcoming games,
right.
Battlefront 5, Anthem, are not. Or, Battlefield 5.
Skipping 3, 4, 3 and 4.
You know what?
Actually, we're counting 1 and 2, the new one. Those are 3 and 4. They're the old ones are 1 and 2 already. New one is 5. Battlefront 5,
you know,
next year.
That would make some sense, honestly.
It would.
But, like, you come out and say, like, neither of these games are going to have that because we have listened to you. Like, we are going to find ways to. These games got to make money.
Right.
But we're going to find different ways to do that. They respect the consumers. They respect the players. Respect these franchises
yep.
and these studios are invested in. And, like, he's the one that should be the bad
And then he
guy.
Should say, like, and now I'm going to get out of your way and let the great designers here at EA and BioWare
yes.
talk about their projects without having to deal with any of this
and
bullshit.
And then Crypto Patrick comes out and
yes.
is excited
and
about
he's excited.
The new
yes.
game.
Then he can say, yeah.
Let me tell you what we're doing to, like,
yeah.
improve Battlefront
Remember
two.
The guy with the weird, that guy, the lung and the forearms?
The lung!
Putting him in it now. And that's he could focus on that instead of having to do the apologia up top
yes.
where he's like,
it really irritated me because, like, Andrew Wilson came out and, like, pitched, like, EA Origin Premier. Like, hey, you like our subscription service? Here's a more expensive subscription service. Which, like
100 bucks, what is that, 100 bucks a year or something?
Yeah, and it might actually be a good value proposition. Like, I'm not, like, people seem to like Origin Access, like, fine
mm-hmm.
enough if you're in that ecosystem.
Right.
But it really irritated me, like, what EA represents as a company, where they are in terms of their image, which is, like, simultaneously unearned, like backlash because certain places like Reddit and like voting for like these fast company like worst
yeah,
companies
yeah, yeah.
of all time like EA is not that like right I mean, like there are companies that are doing worse things than loot boxes but like they just play into like the hand of what
right.
people think of them
but
like
also,
he comes across as a corporate villain
even
and,
when he's saying I you know, and we're gonna give to charity because they also had that whole
right,
segment
and that's
remember?
Good.
It's good to give to charity but also like they're not giving like tens of millions of dollars to charity.
Right.
They give like $1 million to 3 or 4 different charities. That dude's take home pay
What's
is probably
market more. Count?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, it's one of those things where it's like I want you out here taking a bullet, not patting yourself on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And not forcing somebody else to take the bullet for you.
Do
yeah.
you think
know?
Somebody like, pitched that and he was just like, "No, I'm coming out and being buff." I'm going to be a homie.
I mean, there are, I mean, like, I, you know, this is not reported out, but, like, this is just from general knowledge. Like, the reason that executives go out there is not because, like, the designers that work on these games want the executives to go out there and take
yeah.
up the time. It's because executives tend to have ego.
Mm-hmm.
They tend to want the spotlight.
Yep.
And they think, like, I'm up here. I run this. Like, I deserve this limelight. And, like, you know, there are some executives who can get away with it. Like, I think Phil Spencer's one that, like, people genuinely like. He seems authentic. He plays games. But, like, do you look at Andrew Wilson and think, like, he goes home and plays Battlefield 5? Like, maybe he does, but he's not a guy that, like, can carry himself that way. He doesn't talk like someone that loves games. He just comes across as, like, I'm the guy that canceled Amy Hennig's Star Wars game.
Right?
Right? Like, he walks out and you're like, yeah, that's the dude
that's
that pulled.
Fucking
that's
guy
the guy that fucking did that.
Yeah.
Which, whatever, that game sounded really troubled and, like,
100%.
Maybe it should have been canceled. But, like you look at him and you're like, yeah, like, EA, that company,
yeah.
fuck that guy.
And that's the thing that's so frustrating because I think from our position, we so often, I can't speak for y'all, but I'm so frustrated by the games culture that does vote for EA's Worst Company of the Year when you know what other companies are doing
mm-hmm.
in the world, which is way worse shit than
yeah,
just
and
putting
it's not
out
like
a bad
worst
Mass Effect
It's not worst video game companies.
Right.
Like, they're beating out like BP. And
right.
it's just like, come on.
Yes.
Like, what
yeah,
are you
dude.
Doing? Anyway, right. So that's my rant about Andrew Wilson. Actually, I'm not going to do it. I won't have time to do it this week at E3, but like trying to channel this rage. Don't have to. I'm going to write about this again after E3. Yes. Don't steal my take.
Don't do it, internet.
Don't steal my take.
Rob Jackson, do you have a take on Command & Conquer's glorious return? Command & Conquer, one of the great RTS games of all.
Okay. Don't do any. Wait.
He was like, no.
Did you see that?
Because he's for real. He's like a real PC gamer. He's not like us who are like, wow.
Yeah, okay. But video. Like Command & Conquer is like a fun ass strat. Like,
Rob, your definition of great, Rob.
Okay. Oh my. Red Alert?
Red Alert is a great game.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Like, all right. We can settle there.
Command & Conquer had some great moments, especially in its early days.
Okay.
And also its late days when Ric Flair showed up. And
not so much. Like,
even Red Alert got bad after. Red Alert 1 is like the only real good Red Alert, right? Yeah, 2 and 3 are not particularly great.
Yeah, yeah. Really not.
Conquer's Bad Fur Day is a great game.
That is a great game.
What?
Okay, that's true. Is Ric Flair in that? Is that a Red Alert? Okay. Was that like Conquer?
Yes!
Okay.
Oh fuck.
I won E3. No, Patrick walked away.
I'm getting a beer. Don't want to take. Can you get me another TV, please? Okay.
Shout out to this. You know what? Shout out.
I thought she lost her mind. I was like, why did she say that? Did anyone get the joke?
I was just trying to fill airtime. I was like, I think something's wrong with Danielle, and we're just going to get through the segment. And like, check out, like, we need to see those bites again. Like, is there like
all the
weird
bites have mutated?
Yeah,
they're green now. I gotta get some medical attention.
Shout out to the CVS near here for providing us with a place to walk to buy shit like beer.
You don't get beer at the 98-cent store.
They probably don't. We have four 99 or 98-cent stores.
Yes.
We found another one, Patrick. We found one. We walked past it. We didn't even notice it. So that's, we're trying, don't find us by trying to, like.
Triangulate.
Given
one neighborhood
some of the neighborhoods in LA.
Yeah,
looking for 99-cent stores is really going to fucking narrow it down.
Listen, I don't know.
You've not spent enough time in LA.
There are some people out there who are internet detectives. Command & Conquer.
Okay, so here's the thing.
Bad for
the minute they got super meta about it, and they're like, man, people really love, like, our corny Command & Conquer videos, yeah. Let's just, like, crank that all the way to 11. The magic was lost.
Okay.
It was terrible.
They did give me Tim Curry shouting, I'm going to the only place that capitalism hasn't ruined. The moon!
Space.
So space.
He just,
you're right.
He starts to giggle.
He does
just
start
looks
to giggle.
Up.
Space! That's a good line.
It's very good. Yeah. Anyway.
So anyway, speaking of. But unfortunately, capitalism has finally reached Command & Conquer.
Oh, true. Wow.
Finally.
Boy.
Good pivot.
Before
yeah,
now, it wasn't. But, right. But now it's been caught and brought back down to Earth. And now it's a mobile RTS strategy game.
Yeah, it looks a lot like a Clash of Clans style game or a little bit like the Titanfall. I mean, so EA, again, last year they put out a Titanfall mobile game that's a lot like Clash of Clans. I mean, a little bit different because
I've heard that's good.
I like it. Like, I played a lot of my
iPad. My old roommate really liked it, but it also felt very authentic to Titanfall, which I do not think this game looks like it is authentic to Command & Conquer.
Why is that?
Command & Conquer does, like, as, like,
because you don't build, because you don't build 500 mammoth tanks and just send them at the base, which is authentic to Command & Conquer.
That is very authentic to Command & Conquer. But actually, if you watch that demo,
is that what he did?
That's basically how this game ends.
All right, well, I take it back.
So even in the mobile form, it's sort of honoring its tradition and really speaking directly to those longtime fans.
It felt like a little bit of shade was at the end there.
Uh huh.
Keep going.
No, nothing but respect and admiration for people who are still fans of Command & Conquer.
All right, Rob, we're just gonna move on.
Maybe I don't need more of this beer. But the point is, like, Command & Conquer at least did have like compelling aesthetics, usually in their games.
Sure,
like, even when they got bad, they were cartoony and at least vibrant and lively in ways that, like, sort of stuck with you. The earlier games, I think, thought were like very aesthetically strong. Like, each unit had a really distinctive, heightened profile that sort of spoke to faction identity.
Right.
That mobile game they were showing on stage today could have been anything. Yeah. Like, I looked at it and I could not see a trace of Command & Conquer in it. It
it's
was
like,
just
literally
little,
like, just tunes. The nod base is like the only thing. Like,
Tiberium.
And Tiberium.
Like, the little harvester maybe is like the only thing.
But the units just look like generic. military units, right?
Yeah, just like little soldier, you know, squads running out to each other. I did like that they were on hexes. You were right;
they were on hexes. I said.
Well, so when we like Rob had not seen any of this, we're like, so they made Command and Conquer mode. Like, yeah, I know. And then Austin turns to him.
Sorry, trying to get Joel's attention. Danielle,
Joel, can you get Danielle some water?
I'm sorry.
Austin turns to Rob and says, hexes. And like, there's a moment
I say, it's hex based. Which is not the same as it being hex. Like, it has hexes. Yeah. That is not the same as it being hex based, unfortunately. I hate that they were showing that video where it was like the close up on the dude's like phone and also the gameplay footage.
You gotta see that tiny. APM.
The hands were bigger.
I get that he's playing the game. Show it for 20, show for 10 seconds and then just go back to the screen.
That split screen is what made it esports, though.
Oh, I see. And those are real esportsers.
They sure were. Well, at least in Control was.
I'm sure that other Nick at Night is probably somebody.
Yeah, I don't know who Nick at Night is. So like, and that probably says more about like
you.
My narrow definitions of like RTS competitive gaming.
Right.
But yeah, In Control is sort of a recognized and well-known personality and ex-pro in StarCraft. But yeah,
finally coming home to Command and Conquer, where he really belonged.
There's no franchise StarCraft fans loved more than Command and Conquer. If you play StarCraft, the entire time you're like, boy, this is fun, but like, could be Command and Conquer.
Could have more Tesla towers.
Could be in space.
Could be about a squirrel.
Could be about a furry squirrel. Can we talk about Anthem, BioWare's upcoming game, slated now for February 2019, originally slated
February
for
February 22nd.
February 22nd.
That gave a specific date.
That's true. That's a specific date.
No, we should say this game will ship in March 2019.
Probably. But before April. I don't think it'll slip out of the first
quarter. No, I think this is one of those games. This game was supposed to ship in the fall. Yeah. Got pushed to 2019. So this game, come hell or high water, will ship by March 31st, 2019.
Almost certainly, yeah. Give it a 2-week period to actually make some sales. Yeah. So I have so many feelings about Anthem. One thing is, I think it was interesting. I mean, we should talk about what this demo,
what they showed.
So they started by not showing anything. They showed like a 2 or 3 minute clip that is all in-engine footage that was like, you know,
stylized
cinematically cutscene-y shots. Mm-hmm. Of in-engine footage of characters firing missiles and throwing cryo grenades and stuff. For people who don't know, Anthem is the upcoming game from BioWare. It's the first thing they're putting out since Mass Effect Andromeda, and a lot of their hopes, I think, hang on this game.
It's what Casey Hudson, post Mass Effect 3, was working on
in 2012. He was working on
getting this conceptually off the ground. Left for a couple of years, and then
he's now back.
He returned last year. Sounds like they basically like Andromeda bombed, and then like a truckload of cash pulled up and was like, Casey,
come on, please.
Even if you don't work on anything, can we just say you're here?
Name recognition. Wow. I'm sure, you know, so I mean, as Casey talked about it, because this is what the show ended up being, is they show that 2 or 3 minute little cinematic trailer. I mean, it's in engine, but again, and then they talk for like 15 minutes. And I think people hated that. Everyone on my timeline, everyone I saw in chats were like, please show gameplay footage.
And they should have shown gameplay, then had people come out
to
chat.
Yeah, I can meet people halfway there. I can. I think people would not have enjoyed them talking about it for 15 minutes probably. Either way, I think that was just
put
like
out a video documentary afterwards. Like, hey, you want to see more? Like,
I liked
Casey,
because I'm the fucking person I am. I literally 2 days ago on the Friday podcast yesterday said the thing I want more of is developers talking about their games instead of just a trailer, like a drop of trailer.
The problem is like that's not really talking.
I got stuff out of it.
I'm not saying you know what I mean. But that is like rehearsed.
Totally.
Like,
but
like,
I'm fine with that. Even sure. I'm fine with people. I'm with three people on that stage who have different roles in that game, including the lead writer,
who's a woman,
which is like I was happy to see multiple women on stage. Mm-hmm. Would have loved to have more people of color on stage representing those projects. You know, Juju was there. Juju's good. Oh my god, we skipped the Madden.
Yeah, we didn't go there.
Just look it up.
The Madden segment was bad. The dude who's the pro Madden, the best.
But Juju's
Madden,
good.
But Juju's good.
And even if you don't watch the NFL. Like Juju Schuster is a good follow on Twitter.
Yep.
He's a good Instagram. Follow on Instagram. He's just like
good pants,
good fashion.
Oh, good fashion. Yeah.
Good fashion. Anyway, Anthem. They talk for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
They, like, very slowly go over some of the stuff that is what this game is. They talk about the setting. They talk about...
How you do single-player storytelling in a shared universe.
Right, and for me, that's something I'm interested in. Just hearing what
they didn't really, like... They basically said, in the hub world, that's where you're going to get your, like, sort of, like, single-player...
Progression,
cutscenes, story stuff.
Characters.
Once you go out to do a mission...
None of that.
Then that's all gone, and that's when people are going to interact. If it's 2 p.m. in the afternoon in the game, that's the case.
Right. If it's a rainstorm, everybody has the rainstorm. And from stuff that they've talked about previously, that stuff is going to be a pretty big thing about what that game is, right? That's going to be volcanic eruptions. So much about that setting is like there are these big machines that are like, it's actually a lot like the Mass Effect Andromeda story in a weird way, which is there are machines that are like terraforming machines or world creation machines. And those didn't finish their job. And so sometimes they can just fuck up, and like suddenly a volcano happens.
Was it the premise, which at least I had heard it for the first time here, was that like the gods have abandoned humanity? Right. They didn't finish.
Right.
So basically, like God on the second day said, and just like
enough
left, but like left the tools.
Right.
And exactly. So like these tools then get subverted by these leads factions,
right.
And that's, so, like, that's the, how leads
the
to
narrative pitch here is,
which is kind of cool. That's kind of a neat setup.
The narrative pitch is like there's a really militant faction of humans to the north. There is an invading species from alien like invaders and colonists who are trying to come take all this stuff for their own. And you are like working for this other faction. Like it's some pretty standard sci-fi stuff. And eventually they get to show that gameplay. And the gameplay that they showed looked a lot like the gameplay they showed last year, except like a much cleaner HUD or a HUD at all.
But in a good way, right? So like it goes to like that
there's always that question.
Demo like didn't seem from last year was not super bullshitty. Like it was like that game, you know, very clean, no UI, because I'm sure it was like all, you know, unfinished at that stage. But like, you know, if you showed that to me now, that looks very similar to the game they were showing.
So, like,
in terms of like movement and
I mean, you always wonder. So like, there's a small thing there. So this is a game in which you have exosuits, which are kind of like tiny mechs. They're like a little bit bigger than people, but not all the way big as like Titanfall mechs or something, right? And they fly around. They're like Iron Man armor, which means they're very jittery and like they kind of
wobble.
Like, they wobble. They
the
wobble.
The legs wobble. The legs wobble. Bit. That's a good wobble,
which is great. And so like, that's one of those things. Like a year ago, I was like, wow, that wobble looks good, but I wonder if that actually makes it
right
because it's hard. It's you have to animate that wobble, and so that wobble is still there.
Wobble, wobble, wobble.
The wobble's there. What did y'all think of this, the actual gameplay that you saw from this? I know, Rob, you felt like there was, like, something there, but also something missing?
Yeah, I don't, like, it's, and it's hard for me to put my finger on whether or not it's the gameplay they're showing or something about the environment.
Mm-hmm.
I think the more I think about it, the more it's the environment. The environment is bothering me because it is the suggestion of wilderness and wildness and environmental threat, but everything they show looks so like linear and like standard shooter level that wildness doesn't seem like something you will really interact with.
It's still
funnels,
game
does wildness really well.
Stalker.
Yes.
Okay.
Now imagine that wobble.
Stalker wobble.
Yeah.
Wobbly wobbly.
But no, like,
well, it's when that radiation gets in your skin, you start to wobble.
In all seriousness, like, the comparison I made was, it reminded me of Evolve.
Right.
Like, in terms of the world it presents.
Not
in the gameplay, but in the fact
but
that
like, jungle, this, alien jungle that is, like, actually...
the size of a parking lot.
Right. So that's one of my biggest bits of curiosity about this game is, you know, the structure of this game, as far as we can tell between last year's demo and this year's demo, is it's very much something in the Destiny model, something in the Division model. Mm. It is a loot-based shooter, third-person action game. You're going to find new abilities. There are four class, or there's you're playing as one character who's going to unlock four classes of like exosuit. They're called, what are they called? Javelins, which is a pretty good name.
That's
for
good.
It's pretty good.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Four different classes, everyone's going to want to be the cool Storm Mage one.
Because the one that looks like Magneto and like warps in the midair.
Everyone's going to want to do that one. Or I guess maybe the big one. The big boy. There's like, big boy season is happening.
It's a big boy.
It's a big boy.
Where he's got like, kind of like a chain gun sort of thing going on.
So like, and you're going to find new weapons. You're going to find new abilities. I'm excited that we're going to play this week and see what some of that stuff looks like. And you're going to find more loot and then go off on co-op adventures, blah, 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 blah. The thing, one of my questions is whether or not, and this is like such like a basic ass question, it's not the sort of thing I normally ask at an event like this, is like, hey, is this going to be as big as Dragon Age Inquisition and Mass Effect Andromeda are? Which seems like a ridiculous question to some degree, because like, who cares? But when I think about Destiny, when I think about Destiny 2, when I think about The Division, I finished those games and was not done with them. I was so frustrated with Destiny 1 because there was just not much to it. We saw the environment so quickly. By the time I finished Dragon Age Inquisition, I'd been so many places. I was exhausted of going to new places. There have been so many maps, so many new environments. And if they can give, if they can create that amount of and that diverse of environments to explore, and kind of interestingly,
somewhere in between Dragon Age Inquisition, which was like, really big, but really often big. There's not much
but
in those spaces.
You can fly in this, right? So I would actually love Dragon Age Inquisition sized spaces where
you can
fly
get away
around.
With more.
You can get away with more, right? It would actually not as big because the scale is going to be different, right? We're like, I'm not. There's like a number of places in Dragon Age Inquisition that are even bigger than they look because the only way you can get up and down between different areas is because it's like at one place where you like loop up around or climb a ladder or whatever, and so it can be really frustrating. But here I'm just like, yo, I got a jetpack,
or
so
you can go underwater.
Or you go to water, right?
Witcher 3, but with a jetpack.
Love it. Yeah. Except, and so this is where I think a lot of the frustration I've seen comes from BioWare fans who are like, I can't kiss anybody on this. More importantly, like, are there dialogue options in this?
Like, what's the quest design?
Right, and none of that has been shown at all. And I think I'm okay with that. I'm okay with them making a Destiny. I'm ready for them. I'm so excited to be in a new world with new proper nouns, which sounds like such a bullshit simple thing. But we were just talking about this with Fallout and Skyrim or the Elder Scrolls, which is like, I never want to pick up another copy of The Lusty Argonian Maid in my life. I'm done with the Elder Scrolls. Catch me next year being excited for the next Elder Scrolls game. But like, I'm just not excited about returning to the world of Fallout or the world of Elder Scrolls. I was excited about Mass Effect Andromeda because it was going to be a new galaxy. And then it wasn't. It was like a new galaxy, but like only two new cultures to care about.
Right.
I want a new set of factions to think about and to see how they interact with each other. I do want the kind of new like world Bible to dig into. I still am convinced BioWare has that. I'm hopeful, not convinced. I'm hopeful that they still have that ability, and I'm willing to let them take this chance to make something new. But I fully understand why, if you're a Dragon Age fan, if you're a Mass Effect fan who wants to see dialogue wheels, who wants to see relationships, who wants to see
characterization. It sounds like the next Dragon Age is like a long ways off.
They didn't even mention it, right?
Well, and reading between the lines, what they've said publicly, it sounds like that game was kind of like, the game they were building post-Inquisition was kind of blown up.
Right.
They were sort of starting from scratch. There's been a lot of turnover on like the lead creatives. So it's like the earliest that game is coming is probably 2 years from now.
I think it's probably 2 years off at least, yeah.
And if you're looking for like, and Mass Effect will come back, right? Like Casey Hudson coming back post-Andromeda, where Anthem was probably more or less on the path that it was, right? Like he wasn't going to come in and like blow that thing up. So you would think that like Casey Hudson's coming back to like, let's rethink what Mass Effect is going forward. They're going to make another one of those. They will make another Mass Effect game. But that game is 3 years away at the bare minimum, right? So if you're a BioWare fan, there's not much prospect of like a BioWare-ass BioWare game. And like you, like me, I'm okay with Anthem not being that and being like a Destiny-like that has BioWare influence, has a BioWare touch on it.
Totally.
That sounds good because a lot of things that like I really don't like about Destiny or wanted more from Destiny, those are things that BioWare could fill in that doesn't have to be super heavy story. It's just like I couldn't engage with Destiny's story at all. Like I found all of it just like completely aimless and boring, and like I just could not give less of a shit about the Traveler and anything else going on. But like I like to know, I like
the Traveler let you hear that.
Oh, he's listening don't ever right let now.
He's always listening, Danielle.
But like BioWare's the
yeah, it was the Traveler.
My God,
the Traveler's curse
after you,
right?
Come after me. But I could see BioWare like filling in those gaps in a way that and made the most idealistic version of what I would hope from a game like that is like making this loot-driven game, like, have a little more narrative weight and haft in a way that BioWare should be capable of. And I would love to see them bring that to that type of game. I'm more excited for that than any other sort of, like, Destiny-likes that are going to be coming along.
Of which there will be others.
Yes.
I will also say people should read the Game Informer cover story, which gives a little bit more into, like, what these classes are and what the narrative structure is. Like, the kind of one of the core things that they're pitching this on, which they did a little bit of in that event, was the, like, the hub world will change for you separately because it's only yours. It's not even a hub world. Like,
it's an instance hub world
for just you.
Oh.
Will be a situation where it's like, okay, you and I, everybody at this table gets a mission to go get the power core from the gold titan or whatever.
Right.
We go and we do that. And we bring it home. Well, what do you do with it? What do I do with it? We could do different things with it. Hmm. You could go give it to the military faction. I could go give it to, like, the farming faction or whatever. And that will develop our internal worlds a little bit differently. Now, they didn't show any of that.
Right.
And I wish they would have shown some of that stuff, because that could have appeased some of, not appeased, I think it would have given a better picture of what their vision is for that.
Well, yeah, I think that's why I came away from the demo going, I still don't know. Like, I know what this game is, right? Like, it's a Destiny-like, but... like, what is this game? I still didn't come away with, like, a full picture in a way that I found very frustrating. I imagine that's why people are frustrated about these 15-minute interviews. It's like, you could have spent that time, like, showing a demo. Like, if this game's out in February, like, it's really far along. Like, this game is, it's not done, but, like, it's done. And it's, like, in the sense that, like,
it's probably content, and maybe not content complete, but it's nearing content complete.
Right.
It's
they're about to enter the polish phase of, like, heading towards February. I mean, March. I guess what was frustrating is, like, often what happens when, like, my guess is this will be a big presence at Microsoft's press conference. There'll be actually a much longer stage demo this game. I wouldn't be surprised. They did promise that Battlefield was going to be there, but they didn't say that Anthem was going to be there, so maybe it won't. But let's say it is there tomorrow. Let's presume that. Like, what they did with Battlefield was, like, not show very much and just say, come back tomorrow and you'll see... like, what we've got going on. With this, they seem to show, like, a very truncated demo in which, like, if you saw the full, like, 20 minutes or whatever, like, you may have actually had, like, a better sense of, like, what's actually happening on a mission and when you're in after things.
Or even just, like, there are lots of questions that I saw out there that were in that footage, but because, one, a lot of the footage was just, like, repeated the same GIFs of that game effectively behind them on the screen, or was cut up, you couldn't see the answer to that thing, right? So I saw lots of people be like, I wish there were missiles in that game. So, well, there are missiles in that game, but if you blink, you miss them.
Right.
I wish there were laser weapons. There are laser weapons in that game. But, like, you absolutely, they did not put those on display for you nicely. And so that is absolutely one of those things where it's like, I almost wish that they had spent more time cutting together a much more effective trailer. Or, like you said, just show me the uncut mission from a bunch of different perspectives.
Like, start at a hub, go through a mission,
introduce
and just
me to
finish
some
the mission, and then you pick up loot, and then, like, you equip that loot, and you see how it changes your, like, just something like that. It's like, oh, this is what I will do when I play this game in February.
Totally. So I'm interested.
But also, like, going in that water was really fucking cool.
It really was.
Good water.
Daniel, you're a big sci-fi fan.
I am.
What would you want from a new, and you're a big Mass Effect fan.
Yeah,
what would
I am.
You want from a new sci-fi series from BioWare?
I'm not going to lie, it's characters.
Yeah.
It's very much characters. It's very much those sorts of relationships you have with characters. That was it for me in Mass Effect. Like, I had fun shooting a bunch of aliens. Mm-hmm. Like, that was fun. It was fun to do that, but I was in it for, you know, Commander Shepard.
Right.
And her hot girlfriend and her hot boyfriend.
Totally.
And all the, you know, permutations of all those things. And that's what was fun for me.
Yeah.
So.
I didn't show any of that stuff. Right. Like, even though there's no romance, they're promising, like, a really strong story. But they did was, like, show one dude.
It's
and that was
and that's
there's
it.
A dude in space.
There is a dude in space.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally. We saw a face. We saw whoever that character's face for a hot second when her armor got blown off.
Right.
It's an interesting dilemma, I think, in a real way, which is, like, let's say you are at BioWare and studio turnover means the people who used to want to tell those other type, make those other types of games aren't there anymore. What do you do? Like, because you have these fans. Like, we know that I know that lots of talent is still there. I want to be clear. There are lots of people who I follow on Twitter and who I've had beers with are still at that company.
Folks that have worked there since the original Mass Effect.
100%. Some of them are still there. Totally. But there have been, like, major writers who've left that studio over the years. Creative directors who've left that studio over the years. Like, lots of talent has left. And that's not, I'm not saying that as, like, oh, they're bleeding talent or something.
That happens.
But
people want to go work on different things, different
franchises. Totally. And so it's interesting for me to think about the dilemma, which is, like, you have a dedicated fan base who comes to you because they're not getting stuff somewhere else. They're not getting the characterization that you love. They're not getting the world building that I love. They're not getting so much of that other stuff. And so what is the responsibility to maintain that course versus explore what other options you have? And I think part of this really just reflects the failure of Mass Effect Andromeda. So if Andromeda sticks the landing and it's pretty good, instead of being like...
Then they're like, yeah, go do your thing.
Go do your thing.
Of course, like, okay. It makes sense that, like, you got the, you know, one, you got exactly. Dragon Quest and Mass Effect taking care of these
Dragon
people.
Age. Dragon okay. Quest.
Whatever.
Something else.
Sorry. Yeah.
And you've got those teams kind of taking care of that
well,
audience.
Like, you almost have like a range, right? You have yes. like Anthem on one end, Dragon Age on the other end, and mm-hmm. Mass Effect somewhere in the
right.
middle
yeah.
of like this blend of serious action, serious role playing, and like yes. a mix. And that's a really great range of content. But
you can imagine like a pitch presentation that's like, this is the future of BioWare.
I bet they did that. Totally.
Somebody,
totally.
Yeah.
So, and then Anthem,
Mass Effect dropped the ball.
Dragon Quest.
Ball.
Yeah.
Dragon Quest dropped the ball.
Draquay dropped the ball.
That's what happened, and that was that. My friend Allie said something earlier to me, which was like exactly what how I feel, which is, she said, I mostly want BioWare to think about making a thing as much as they thought about making Mass Effect 1. Which is like, mm-hmm. yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't care what that thing is. I want them to think about making something as much as they thought about making Mass Effect 1.
Right.
Put that much
That's
effort
really
into it.
Good.
Put that much world building into it. To put that much into the vision of what that world and that series is. Mm-hmm. It's like rose-colored glasses, obviously, but I do remember seeing that first Mass Effect 1 demo and just being completely blown away by the feeling of scale of what the world is and the notion. There was a feeling that like things... That whole universe was going to be so vast, and I couldn't wait to discover things in it. I don't get that same feeling.
And it was
here.
Cinematic in a way nothing was.
100%.
Like, 100%. It was like, this looks like an amazing
yes,
sci-fi movie.
Yes.
You know?
And that's they have not followed up on that
right.
successfully. I mean, I can't think of anybody who has given a demo where I've been like, oh shit, this changes what my level of expectations around a key level of presentation better than that specific E3, because I think that was maybe also the E3 of like the first Gears of War demo. That move
that
to the Xbox
yeah, that
360 was such a big leap in so
right.
many different ways. Yeah. But like, I don't see
they haven't sold the world of
no.
Anthem. Like, the way Anthem like was originally presented, like, it was like, oh, BioWare's gonna make a game kind of like Destiny.
Right.
And they didn't pitch the world part, which maybe was like a tell early on. It's like, actually, like, that's more of a secondary
right.
part of this. Like, the game... The kind of game we wanted to make came first. The world
right.
filled in the gaps on like how we're going to build that game. Whereas like Mass Effect, I don't know if this happened. You know, like you never know. But like
right.
Mass Effect felt like a game that was like we imagined this world, and then we thought, well, what kind of game could we build around this world? Even
yeah.
though that's not actually how it happened, that's how that game
that's
felt.
How it feels.
And Anthem
right.
felt like
right.
the other way around.
Right. And that's how those demos felt. That's how those initial reveals of Shepard on the Citadel trying to like chase down the criminal or whatever in that initial thing.
Do you think an element of this, because I'm thinking about Destiny
yeah.
a little bit, and is something games like this run into is also they have to be these imagine yourself here power fantasies
yeah.
for the player. Like Mass Effect from the beginning, the pitch was always like, yeah, it was your Shepard and everything, but at the same time, you were also kind of watching a pitch. You were watching trailers for something that was going to be like video game Star Trek. Basically,
right.
you're going to be journeying the stars
yeah.
with this crew of characters who are like sharply drawn enough that you can sort of see like, ah, there's the tough badass. There's the no-nonsense commander, all that stuff. And there might be tropes, but they're identifiable characters.
Yeah.
With Anthem, I see a bit of the Destiny thing where it's like, here's some badass avatars who
right.
do cool shit. But I don't imagine them having an inner life or a place where they stand within that world.
But even Destiny's gotten better at that, right? I think about the Destiny 2 reveal trailer of Zavala losing power and then, like, walking through the snow. Remember, there's that bit of, like, Zavala getting killed over and over and over again and, like, getting up again and again. Wouldn't that have been a good fucking game? What if
yeah.
they made that game? Make that
yeah.
game, Bungie.
Make that game.
And also, let me shoot the shotgun and every... Oh, they did that. Now I can have three shotguns if I want three shotguns, which is...
Oh, there
okay.
you go.
That's good. I don't know. We'll see. We're going to play Anthem in a couple of days. It's just going to be that demo. But
right.
I think it goes through the boss fight, which they didn't show in that demo, which sounds good again. I think that GI story is pretty good at kind of setting up some of the stuff that they did not set up in that demo.
Right.
So we'll see. I think that might be it for EA day one, or for E3 day negative three.
Wait, we're only
E3.
Playing EA games
only,
for...
That's right.
Oh my god!
EA 3! So look at this. I got an email from EA. It said, discover the world of Anthem, and also you're only allowed to play EA games for the next week. It says
oh,
it right
watching,
here.
They're watching on Periscope.
They're watching
that's
on Periscope.
They just
that's what they,
you,
that's
yep,
what
they
did.
Know.
Andrew Wilson was like, "This, you know, you shit talk me. This is what you get.
This is
He's
what you
lifting
get.
A weight in one hand, sending you the email.
Is the weight also holographic?
Yes.
Where's Longshot 2?
I don't know where Longshot 2 is. They didn't show the story mode for Madden, did they?
They didn't show anything for Madden. They just said it's coming to PC, which is cool.
That's
like,
cool.
That is like legit that, you know, they're good to PC version. But yeah, they didn't show anything other than
Longshot 2.
A bullshit in-engine cinematic
you
trailer.
Unlock special pro skills by meeting your sketchy health counselor outside the team organization. And, you know, in certain, like, you know, covert missions within Longshot, you go and you unlock your skill tree.
Of course. Great. Perfect.
Who did your character get drafted to?
I know who mine did.
Do you remember?
Oh, gosh. I didn't play that.
Oh, you didn't?
No.
Did yours?
Mine got drafted to the fucking Packers.
Why? How?
I don't know.
How did that happen?
I don't know.
The game knew.
Justice.
Oh, I do know, because I looked at the David Cage Detroit style breakout shit for, like, the flow chart for how all that worked, because my character got an offer at the end. I'm going to spoil the end of Longshot, because it was dope. The end of Longshot was the Madden story mode. I had some issues with it. We talked about this on a past episode. There's some shit with, like, black quarterback stuff that was, like, not great. But the end of my thing was, like, my best friend, my on-again, off-again best friend got drafted by the Cowboys. And I had said my favorite team was the Eagles, which are rivals of the Cowboys.
Right.
And I got the offer from the Cowboys. And I also got the offer from the Eagles. And I had to pick if I wanted to go play with my childhood best friend or go play at the Eagles.
Which chose friendship, right?
Fuck that.
He chose to fly like an eagle.
Big Dick Nick, motherfucker. Got that ring. Champion. He went there that year, and then that's it. Then that's, you know, why did the Eagles win? Because I sent my Madden character to Philadelphia.
Shit, you uploaded him.
I uploaded him. I did.
Right.
Nick
He's
Foles
a hologram, too.
Was, my Madden character was in Nick Foles' mind. That's why he was so good.
I just can't read defenses.
Oh, it's so bad. All right. I think that is going to be it for today. We'll be back tomorrow. I'm not going to do a whole big outro. You know everything. You know what? Here's what I'll say. Thank you to Bowen for letting us use the track. Miss you. If the EP Pale Machine, find out more about that, waypoint.zone/BOEN, twitter.com/waypoint all week.
We're only doing podcasts.
Only doing podcasts all week. So look forward to hearing
and
us.
And socials.
Yeah, and socials. Social video, more video. Are you already hanging up the video? No? Okay. Danny's shaking her head at me. That's going to do it for us. We'll be back tomorrow with, what's tomorrow? Microsoft?
Yep.
Bethesda.
Devolver. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that's it.
Yes.
So look forward to that tomorrow night. We'll be back. Until then.
Be good. Be good at it. And don't get fleas.
Oh, my God. Peace.
That hand wasn't broken. There's no way that hand was broken.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.